kind of message there was there. You turn the microphone off and you invite me to the pulpit. Okay, so I have a big, Pastor Dave, please don't go too far, okay? I have a big question for everybody. How many here appreciate the goodness of God in giving us a good pastor? Yeah, I'm with that. And Pastor Dave, I guess Carol is out with the kids. Okay, so well, can you come up? Let's give him another hand. Of all kinds of things I could say to embarrass him and all that, but I decided I wouldn't do that. But Pastor Dave, from the church, we want to give you this, and it's just a little, you can't quantify, you know, in dollars and cents what you mean to us or how much we appreciate you, but it ain't bad. So anyhow, let's just pray for our pastor. He might have something he wants to say, I don't know, but Father, we thank you. You said in Ephesians 4, you said that you ascended on high and you gave gifts to men, and you gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be pastors and teachers and evangelists. And Lord, you gave them that they would perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. And we thank you, Lord, for Dave's diligence. Lord, how he obeys you, how he strives to hear your voice, how he teaches us, how he visits us when we're sick. And Lord, even when he was working and a full-time job, he was still always there when needed. And so, Lord, we are so thankful to you. We ask you bless our brother, bless his wife. Keep him strong and keep talking to him, keep speaking to him, and help him to lead this this flock of your sheep. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You got anything you want to say? You got to let it go. Don't turn the mic on.
I won't turn the mic off. Thank you. The song says the only good thing in me is Jesus, and that's the truth. I appreciate you all. Thank you. It is a privilege beyond what you can know to get to be part of the church here. We love you a bunch. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. So I had another title for this message up until yesterday, and I decided to change it. There is a biblical truth I want to talk about this morning, and I'm going to give you a warning really up front. I am going to lay a massive amount of scripture on you today. I actually had intended to have all this on a piece of paper, and I was going to pass it out, but we don't have a photocopier. So that is not going to happen today. You might want to jot them down, or you might want to just listen, whatever you want to do. But if I was going to take this and really do justice to it, I'm saying 3-4 months minimum of preaching through this, okay? And I'm going to do it all in 30 minutes. So I just want to remind us of something. There's this truth that's mentioned many, many, many times in the New Testament. Some say like 150 or more times it's referenced in the New Testament. 23 of the 27 books of the New Testament directly speak of this truth. And what is the truth? The truth is the return of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming back. You know, I listen to some Christian radio. I try to listen to preachers, and they all have good things to say. And I don't want to be critical, but I don't hear a lot these days about his return. Now, I don't want to talk about the Antichrist, and I don't want to go into all that stuff. But I want to talk about just this truth that Jesus, hear me, Jesus is coming back. And as we will see, as we look through some things, this may be that very hour. What did Jesus say about his return? Well, he said he would definitely return. Okay, and some scriptures I'm just going to reference, but some I'm going to read. And this one I'm going to read in John 14, verses 1-3. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Have you watched the news lately? Have you seen what's going on in the world? "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions, there are many dwelling places. many tabernacles? If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Wow, what an amazing promise we got right from the mouth of Jesus. He said, I need to go away. He did, and he said, I will come again. And unless Jesus took up lying in his latter part of his life, he meant what he said. He said that his coming would be quick. Like some people, I think they have this idea that, yeah, he's coming, but I just live in a little different way than maybe I should. And when he's coming, I'll have that split second, and I'll get right with God. Well, he says in Matthew 24, 27, for as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man. By the time you see it, it's over. It's there, everywhere. He also said that no one knows exactly when he is coming except the Father in heaven. Matthew 24, 36, but of the day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Anyway, I just want to warn you about these people who, they say, I got it. I got the date and so on. And people have run that scam for a long time. Nobody knows. Jesus said, I don't know. The angels of heaven don't know. God knows, and when he's ready, he'll let the rest of us know. Jesus said, these are all things that Jesus said about his coming. He said his coming would be a time when he will separate the righteous from the wicked. He's going to do business. Matthew 25, 31 and 32, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his holy angels with him, wow, what a day that'll be, then he will sit on the throne of his glory and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goats. So Jesus had a lot to say, he had more to say than just that on it, but there is this certainty that he is coming back. He's not coming back to fit in. He's not coming back to compromise. He's not coming back to say, okay, let's meet in the middle someplace. He's coming back, and he will establish his throne on the earth. There is a beginning to this earth, in this world, and there will be an end to it as we know it. And it's going to happen. Now, I have been sitting on this particular, I don't want to call it a message because it's only a message because it's what God is speaking to me, but I've been sitting on this for probably the last year, this growing sense that the church needs to get ready. These things are not going to go on forever as they always have been. We've seen that only God knows, but Jesus did, only God knows when Jesus is going to come back, but Jesus did say that we can discern the times. We don't have the day and we don't have the hour, but we have the seasons. And Jesus, he said in Matthew 25, 31, he says, oh, wait a minute, I already did that. Matthew 24, 3, the disciples said, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So they wanted to know what we want to know. When? When? How are we going to know? And then Jesus begins to teach them through Matthew 24, which is a huge chapter. We can't even begin to do justice to it, but he says a lot of things in there. He says, and you'll see these things up there, man. Adam's going to try to keep up with him. He's doing a great job, brother. You're a fabulous job. In Matthew 24, 4 and 5, we see that there's going to be a lot of people who are claiming to be the answer, the Christ, God. Got a lot of that going on, false religions. We have wars and rumors of war, global upheaval, a lot of that happening. Persecution is going to be widespread. And, you know, we have this whole thing of persecution. I don't want to go off on any kind of a trail on this, but there's a lot of persecution going on right now. in the world. Christians are being persecuted. You probably heard on the news, Nigeria. That's in the news now, right now. 18,000 churches have been burned, have been destroyed in Nigeria. 50,000 Christians, 50,000, not 15, 50,000 Christians have been killed in Nigeria since in the last 15 years. So this is something that's been going on. There's this persecution, and it's not only in Nigeria. It's in a lot of the Islamic countries. We have it in China. I remember I was in China with a friend, and we visited a number of cities: Guangzhou, Kunming, Chengdu, another one I forgot where we were. But anyhow, we went and we were meeting with Christian leaders. We spent about 2.5 weeks going to and meeting in just very private meetings and meeting with all these Christian leaders. And after we had met with them and we were on our way back, my friend who works with them all the time, it's not Roscoe, by the way, it's another guy, and I want to mention his name. He said, every one of the people that we had met with have already spent time in prison, and all of them expect to be there again. That's just the Christian life. Persecution. It is widespread. And really, there is a ministry called Voice of the Martyrs. You can go online, Voice of the Martyrs, tell them you want their magazine. You'll hear from them a lot. But there's all this telling you what's going on in the world right now with Christians. So we are really in kind of a bubble. You know, things are good for us. You know, somebody might make fun of us because we're Christians or something, but we really haven't suffered like a lot of people have. And it's not diminishing. It's going greater as time goes on. We're going to see false prophets. Widespread deception. This kind of a thing that I think Christians are so naive at times, just because someone goes on the radio and says, you know, I'm a prophet, and they have this thing they're going to say, we take that to the bank. No, you know, in the Old Testament, if you prophesied and you were wrong, they killed you. You know, so sometimes I think some of that should come back. No, I don't really mean that. But there are people who are just claiming to be prophets. You need to weigh the prophecies against the Word of God. And just, that's all I can say about that. Not everybody on the radio, not everybody on your newsletter list and all that is really a prophet. They just, if they have outlandish, crazy prophecies, their donations go up. Okay, Christians become lukewarm and even cold in their faith in verses 12 and 13. But in the midst of all this, the good news is, there's a fresh emphasis of the gospel going forward. And that's also happening right now. And I am very excited as I read about what's going on Gen Z. I get confused on high school kids really, really turning to God in huge numbers. The Charlie Kirk's killing, which was one of the most difficult things for me personally to absorb. I was shocked at my own, at how I would be honest with you, I wept. I thought, this is horrible. But what has happened since Charlie Kirk's death is that 140,000 new Turning Point chapters are coming into being, and young people are turning to God. And so there is this time of when it's like the Tale of Two Cities starts with, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, you know. So the things are bad, but the good news is that things are good too. God is at work in all of this, but these are all signs of the end times. And then he goes on for about 15 verses almost, explaining all kinds of things. I just don't want to go into that now. It would take me away from where I really want to be today. But I do want to read these verses in Matthew 24. verses 29 through 31. It says, so Jesus has just explained a lot of things are going to be happening. He says, and immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the heavens, and the powers of the earth will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Hallelujah. This is going to be a good day. And he will send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Oh, praise God. Now, I think that a lot of us, I mean, maybe all of us, because it could happen this very day. A lot of us are going to see this. We're going to be a part of this. This is. I guess what I want to do today is I want to get this whole concept of Jesus returning out of the far reaches of our theology. Yeah, he says he's coming, but it's not really impressed in our spirits. I think we are going to see this happened. Some of us, I think, definitely will. But he goes on here and he says, you know, he says, after the tribulation of those days, you know, we have this idea, and there, people have done all kinds of things to try to say, well, and Jesus can't come yet because, and they'll pull on some eschatological thing and say, well, that hasn't happened yet. Well, you know, it all depends on how you interpret this stuff. It really does. I mean, some things people interpret this way, some another way. But here's what I know. I know that in the early church, they expected Jesus to return. They knew what Jesus said. In Philippians 4:5, Paul wrote, the Lord is at hand. In 1 Corinthians 16:22, the epistle ends with Maranatha, hallelujah, which means O come Lord. In 1 Peter 4:7, it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. James 5:9, the judge is standing at the door. So they had revelation, they had the apostles, they had teaching. And they're saying, "Hey, he can come back anytime." So for and I've been somewhere walking with the Lord around, I think, 51 years now, and in 51 years, my theology about Jesus' return and the end times has changed probably 50 times. I read this book and, oh yeah, that's it, and then I read this and, well, okay, well, that's it, but if that's it, then that can't be it, and so I've wrestled with trying to really understand some of these things. And of course, I can't say that I can be definitive about a lot of things, but of this I am quite certain: Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. Why is this important to us? Okay. So Jesus gave us a promise that he himself was going to come back, and we have a description of what our world is going to be like when he comes back. Do I have to actually go through and tell you what our world is like right now? I mean, it is insane. It is insane. Some of the issues that are front and center in this country, 15 years ago, we would have said, nobody would be that crazy, you know, and it just, we're just a whole warping of our culture and society. It's gone crazy. And you know, I think of the scripture where the Apostle Paul says, and he will send them a strong delusion that they will believe the lie. So there's these lies going out. Boys can be girls. That's a lie. Boys can't be girls. It's a biological truth. But if you bring that up, people are ready to fight you on that. They say follow the science, unless it comes to that, I guess. and all the things that go with that. Boys playing against girls in sports, and this guy. I guess he's a guy. I'm not sure what he is. He's the guy who's going to do the halftime show at the Super Bowl. He's out there, man. The guy is out there. But I'm really happy. I think you all know Turning Point is putting on a halftime show so you can click off of the Super Bowl, go watch something good, and then come back and watch the end, watch the Bills take it. So, so that'll be a good night. That'll be a good night. So, but things have gone. You know, Romans talks about the degradation of society, and in the first chapter it talks about how because they didn't know God and neither were they thankful, their hearts became darkened and they became fools, and you could see the descending until they were worshiping crawling creepy things, you know, just going from knowing God to that. And our society is, even to the most casual observer, it's unprecedented, I think. I mean, it's unprecedented. Maybe it's unprecedented because we have the capacity of disseminating all this stuff worldwide through the internet, where in some of the more pagan cultures of the past, they didn't have that. I'm not really sure. But why is this important to us? It's important for more than just a theological thing. In 2 Peter 3, 1-4, Peter writes this. He says, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder." That's what I'm doing today. That's my mission today, to stir up our minds. Our pure minds, by way of reminder. You know this stuff. You all know this, what I'm saying to you, you all know. "That you be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.'" And if he was he ain't coming back. You know, if he was going to come back, he would have been here already. And so he says there's going to be this callousness to it. And I don't think believers buy into that in that way, but I think that it's very easy for us to forget. Just to forget what God has got in store for us. And so there's some important things that I want to share with you about this. It's important, this idea, this understanding of that Jesus is coming back is important because it encourages us when times get tough. Times could get tough. I don't know. I don't want that, but it could happen. Titus 2:13 tells us, "Looking for the blessed hope in the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." And if you're going through a hard time, I mean, really hard time, realizing that he's coming back is a great thing. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-10, 10 verses, sorry about that, but they're all really important for this, so let's do it. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-10, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourself know perfectly well that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons and daughters of light and sons and daughters of the day, and we are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore," whenever you see "therefore," you realize it's built on what just was said, okay? It's like a subtotal button. Somebody said, "You see, therefore," you ask what the "therefore" is there for, okay? The "therefore" is what he's about to say is based upon what he just said. Therefore, let us not sleep. Come on now. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who are of the day, be sober. Oh, I'm sorry. Those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. There's a lot in there, obviously. There's a lot in there. When the men, and on Monday night when we get to this, this is a month right here. I mean, this is a month we'll talk about this. But he's telling us that you know, this day is going to come suddenly on some people, and they shall not escape. Now, I want you to keep that thought in the back of your head, because I'm going to come back to it. But there are people that we know, people that we care about, people that are in our sphere, and they will one day either be with Jesus or be separated from God. This is not going to go on forever and ever. We don't have forever and ever. The church, our church, Christians need to realize that we are of the day, that we need to do what it says here, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of salvation, the hope of salvation, God did not appoint us to wrath. Somebody should shout hallelujah for that one. But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are asleep or we wake, we should live together with him. This truth of Jesus' return is important because it comforts us. Sometimes we have to say goodbye to loved ones, and it's very difficult. And it's a wonderful hope. It's a wonderful truth that we have, that we will be reunited with those. My mom passed she was 62 years old, back in 1987, a long time ago. And I often think, man, I would go every Saturday morning when I was in the country anyhow. Every Saturday morning, I'd go about 9 o'clock, I'd be knocking on my mom's door. Sit there and have coffee. Sometimes it'd be 15, 20 minutes. Sometimes it'd be several hours. I can't tell you how much I would love to sit down, have coffee with my mom again. She's been gone for a long time, but she's waiting for me. And I remember we led this couple to the Lord, and they were at the time I thought they were elder. I think they were probably my age. At the time, I thought they were really old. And they came to know the Lord. And they were very excited about Jesus, and he died. And he went to be with the Lord. And I was doing the funeral, and the casket was there, and his widowed wife was sitting right there, and everything was just about over. And she reaches over, and she pats the casket, and she says, "I'll see you soon." He believed that. So we will be reunited with loved ones, either we'll die and go be with them, which is one way to get do it, or he returns and we are together again. 1 Thessalonians 4:15-18. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. This is awesome reading right here. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Erica Kirk, she did an interview with Jesse Waters, I think. And I think he's going to have it on Fox News on, I think, Wednesday. But there was little snippets of it. And he asked her, I think it was Jesse Waters, asked her about threats and things that were coming her way as she leads Turning Point. And she says, "What are they going to do to me?" if they kill me, I'm just going to go and be with my beloved husband. You know, there's something about knowing where we're going and knowing what's going to happen that gives us courage and strength and helps us to just realize that we have, doesn't matter this brief time that we live in, we have an eternity of being with Him. And the Bible says this, now these abide forever, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. If I love my wife here, I'm going to love her there. We're not going to be strangers up there. I'm not sure all that's going to work out. It's kind of a mystery to me, but I do know that's what He said. And so we are going to have friendships. We're going to have relationships. The things that we had here, they're going to be there, only they're going to be greater, they're going to be better. We can be encouraged. It's important, the return of Jesus is important because it spurs us on to share our faith personally and to be involved in global missions. There's people out there, they need Jesus. One of these days, I've been threatening to do it for years now. One of these times, I'm just going to share my testimony. Take about half an hour and just share it all with you and let you know what a scoundrel and a rat fink I was before God got a hold of me. But, you know, the thing is that my life was in such a bad place, such a bad direction, and He came into my life, and it went the other way. What is that song? What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my... You know, God changed my life. He didn't give me a new religion. He didn't give me a new address of a church building and say, that's where it's at. He changed me. And there are people right now that are so messed up. They need God. They need the Lord. You have what they need. You don't have forever to share it. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness and to all the nations, and then the end will come. We're approaching that. It's not every individual, but every people group. We are approaching that. I'm not sure what the number is now, but we're closing in on the Great Commission, going into all the world, making disciples, teaching them to observe everything that He has commanded. Those days are being fulfilled for the first time in history. And when the Father says, okay, it's done, that's it, it's done. The door will be shut. Those who are welcomed in will be welcomed in. The ones who aren't, the door will be shut. That ought to somehow, I know my wife and I, when we pray together, you know, we pray for our kids, our grandkids, but, you know, we just pray that God would keep them. Pray that God would lay hold of them. That when this day comes, that all of us would go and we wouldn't leave any of them behind. If we don't realize that Jesus is returning, we could get very lackadaisical about this stuff. Hey, well, whatever. He's young. He's not going to die now. He's got time. Maybe. Maybe not. This truth of Jesus' return is important because it helps us to live lives that are pleasing to God. 1 John 3:2-3, Beloved, we are now children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. If you really believe that Jesus could return before I'm done here, which the way I'm going on is could actually happen. Are you happy with where you're at right now? Do you want Him to come back right now? Do you have some business to take care of right now? Do you want to face Him with the condition you're in? I'm not asking a question. I'm not making any accusations. But everyone who has this hope purifies himself. All right, I know I'm going to face Him. I want to live for Him now. I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to be embarrassed. I am watching the time, so we will finish very quickly here. It's important because this truth helps us remember that God is in control of everything. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow, and those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is in control. So, this is what we saw so far. Regarding Jesus' second coming, he promised he would do it. He told us that the world would be like prior to his coming. The early church looked for his return. This is important because it encourages us, it comforts us, it spurs us on to evangelism, global missions. It helps us live a life devoted to God, and it reminds us that God is in control even at the worst times. I could say amen right there, but I'm not going to. I just want to hit one more thing very quickly. There were five parables. It might be more, but these are the five that came to my mind that Jesus told us that highlighted his return. Five parables, and we're not going to read them because they're all lengthy. But the first one, no particular order here, but the first one is the parable of the 10 virgins, the five wise and the five foolish, and it's found in Matthew 25. And the point of that parable is to tell us to be ready because you don't know the day or the hour. You don't know when he will come. Then there's a parable that Jesus told in Matthew 13 of the wheat and the tares. And the point of this is that there will come a day when he's going to separate the wheat from the tares. There's not going to be a mixture anymore. The final judgment will happen. The third parable is found in Matthew 24, and it speaks about the faithful and the unfaithful, the untrustworthy servants. And the point of that is be faithful, serve the Lord, serve one another, and rewards will follow. Then there's a parable of the 10 minas. And, some were given out and they reproduced more and some didn't. And he wasn't happy with the ones that didn't do anything with what they were given. And he makes it very clear in the parable. The point of that is use what God has entrusted you for him. What has he given you? What are you sitting on? What could you do for him that you're not doing? Talk to him about that. Ask him about that. You might be surprised what he shows you. And the fifth parable is the parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25. And the point here is, again, his return and how that ushers in final judgment. So, how should this information about Christ's return impact us? I just can't think that a conclusion would be business as usual. What I'm sharing with you is just so real to me right now, and it has been. It's like it's been this increasing thing, just realizing that we are in a critical, unique time in all of human history. We don't have forever. He's coming back. We can't, business as usual is not an option. It seems we don't know when he's going to come back. We really need to be ready. Are you ready? I mean, it's not an accusation. It's just a question. Are you ready? Is there business to be done? Something that needs to happen. Something needs to change. Something you need to do. Something that if you get to the other side, you don't want to look back and see, I really wish I would have taken care of that when I was there. We should be living in a way that pleases him. Don't put anything off that the Holy Spirit is putting on your heart. Don't put it off. Somebody asked me once, what's the most important thing God ever said to you? And the only thing that came to my mind, I said, well, the last thing. You know, when he says, when he's speaking to you, if you ignore what he's saying, he has a funny way of stopping. He doesn't say a whole lot because he's already told you what he wants to talk about. So what's he talking to you about? As we don't know when he will return, we should share our faith, live for God, and encourage one another in the hard times, in the difficult times, and all that. This is not the end of anything. This is just a brief interlude of our lives, that we will pass from this place and we will be with Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever. So far into the forever, my mind can't even comprehend what I'm talking about. But I know that's where we're going to be. Pastor Dave, will you come and... God bless you.
It's an exciting thing, and it's an incredible challenge. Oh, we have been entrusted with the gospel. And Jesus said he's going to come back. But in one of the parables that Tom referred to, he said, occupy until I come. Put it to work. Oh, do you feel challenged today? To live like Jesus could come tomorrow and reach as many people as you can for the gospel. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you keep your promise, and your promise was that you would return. And Lord, we believe you. Help us, Father, to live today to the fullest in our service to you. And Lord, those little things that Tom mentioned, Lord, if there are other things in our hearts and lives that we need to, where we need to be right, Lord, we uncomfortable things that we'd rather not have to look at today and think we have lots of time, Lord, we might not have lots of time. Help us to have our own hearts and our own lives in order so that we can reach as many people with the gospel as we can. Thank you for that, Lord. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you need prayer, please don't leave without someone will be up front to pray with you. If you are able today, if we've got any guys that could help, there's a couple of tables in the prayer room that need to go upstairs. And if you don't grab me, Sister Carol will be able to tell you. My wife will be able to tell you where she wants those to head, but we can use those. God bless you. Have a great week. If you need prayer, please feel free to come. And we'll believe God with you.